Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Monday. This is Seattle Now. Grocery stores in the city have been required to pay an additional $4 an hour to workers since last February. The money was meant to compensate them for the risk of working during the pandemic, but it was always temporary, and now it will end, 30 days after the mayor signs legislation passed by the council last week. KUOW's Ruby DeLuna is here to talk about it, but first, here's what's coming up this week. The city of Seattle is holding two forums to get input on its search for a new police chief. One takes place Wednesday at the Holgate Street Church in Mount Baker. The second is Thursday at South Park Hall. Both will be led by community groups. The input will help a search committee appointed by the mayor pick five finalists for the job. Wildfire season is underway in Washington, and this week's weather may not help. The Department of Natural Resources says recent gray skies, cooler temperatures, and low wind have kept fire risk lower. But the Yakima Herald reports fire meteorologists are warning that heat today and tomorrow will leave fuel ready to ignite when the potential for thunderstorms rolls in Wednesday. The DNR is reminding people to be responsible with burning and recreating. Remember, it only takes one spark. And the Seattle Storm are wrapping up their season with three away games this week on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. The team has already clinched a spot in the WNBA playoffs this year, which could help Sue Bird break a record as the most decorated WNBA player in history. It's her last chance to win a fifth championship since she's retiring at the end of the season. During lockdown, when many people were free to stay home, frontline employees, like grocery workers, went in. To help recognize the risk, the city implemented a $4 an hour increase for some workers. The wage increase landed on larger employers and was contentious from the start. Last week, the Seattle City Council voted to end it over the objections of some workers. KUOW's Ruby DeLuna is here to tell us more about the council's decision and what grocery and industry advocates have to say. Ruby, really good to talk to you. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks, Trish, for having me.
So first, let's talk about the ordinance itself. What did it do exactly?
Okay, yeah, so here's some background. So this hazard pay took effect in February of last year, and the idea was to compensate workers for the risks they were taking by working the front lines, keeping stores open at the height of the pandemic. And this applied to companies with 500 or more employees. And it actually set an example that other cities, especially around the Puget Sound area, passed similar policies. Now, the council came close to ending hazard pay three times, but held back because of high COVID cases. Remember those variants? Well, last December, council members did vote to sunset it, but then Mayor Jenny Durkan vetoed the bill and the council let it stand. Recently, Mayor Bruce Harrell made a request saying the policy is no longer needed.
You know, what's interesting about the timing of this, Ruby, is, of course, we're in the middle of a surge of COVID right now. And while more vaccines are available, fewer people are dying, that doesn't mean fewer people are becoming infected. So, like you mentioned, the conversation about ending hazard pay has been happening on the council for a while now. What have members been saying about it?
Council members who wanted to see this end, they point to other cities that had implemented hazard pay and said, hey, look, they've ended theirs. Others say that the new contract, this recent contract between major grocers and UFCW 3000, the union representing workers, included pay raises up to $9 an hour in the next 3 years. Therefore, the need for hazard pay is unnecessary.
The Northwest Grocery Association, which is an advocacy group representing the grocery industry in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, has had some things to say about it as well. Why are they in favor of ending it?
I don't know if you remember, Trish, but not long after the bill went into effect, the Northwest Grocery Association sued to block the ordinance, saying that the workers were already compensated for their sacrifice in the form of appreciation pays or hero bonuses. We're going to hear from two industry representatives, one, Holly Chiza of the Northwest Grocery Association, who said it's time to sunset the policy. And then we're also going to hear from Tammy Hetrick, president of the Washington Food Industry Association, who also sued to block this ordinance at the council meeting, told the council that the extra pay has been a financial strain for businesses.
Only some grocery stores in Seattle have been mandated to pay hazard pay, while all other businesses in the city have not.
We have had record losses in Seattle, and we have had owners leave Seattle because they couldn't afford to stay in business.
You know, Ruby, I'm really curious what grocery workers are saying about this, because this money, while temporary, was probably really important to them.
It has been important to them. In fact, at the council meeting, many had expressed frustration. They say they're tired and they're feeling very vulnerable as COVID cases remain high.
The work is no less hazardous now than at the beginning of the pandemic. Workers are still forced to take time off due to exposure. COVID numbers are soaring. All this at a time when inflation has risen so high that our $15 minimum wage, won back in 2016, should be closer to $19. Do better for the working people of Seattle.
My Trader Joe's currently has 99 employees, and those 99 employees, 17 contracted the COVID-19 variant during the month of July. The rest of us remain going to work, overworked, overstressed every day on a daily basis. If you want to end hazard pay, get back to the office, show up in person, and put yourself at risk with the general public like grocery store workers do every day.
The first voice you heard was Brett James, a former grocery worker, and then we heard from Ann Woodford, who works in West Seattle. Another criticism that came up was that the council was ending the policy at a time when grocery chains are enjoying profitable years while workers struggle to make ends meet. Earlier this year, a study by the Economic Roundtable found that tens of thousands of workers across three Western states, including Washington, are food insecure or don't have enough to eat. And so at this week's council meeting, many expressed concern. They're worried about inflation or rising food costs. Councilmember Kshama Sawant, who was one of the two dissenting votes, said that ending hazard pay won't bring down food prices.
Really, there are two separate competing issues here being raised by grocery workers. One of them is a larger issue about pay in general. The other one specific to the risk they feel they're still enduring during this COVID pandemic, which is still on, by the way. Nobody's declared the pandemic over, even though we have more vaccines. Ruby, what's next here?
Well, the mayor is expected to sign the ordinance, and it will likely take effect next month.
And before I let you go, I was actually looking at other cities who had implemented hazard pay, like San Francisco and LA. And in many cases, those ordinances had an end date built into them, 90 days, right? Maybe it would have been kinder for workers if the city had built in an end date to this ordinance from the beginning.
I mean, that's the thing. There was no general end date. You know, after it was passed, the council had intended to review the policy after 4 months and take into consideration factors such as COVID rates, people's safety, and economic risks during the pandemic. But as we've seen over the last 2-3 years, the pandemic has raised a lot of questions, right? Including, how do we define essential worker? Who's an essential worker and how much do we value them? How much do we compensate them? And I think this is an example of like a lot of the questions that COVID has raised during this time. It really has shown a spotlight on some of the power dynamics between employers and workers.
Yeah. And as we've learned in this example, that the interpretation of risk is different for everybody at this point.
And I think a lot of people, too, are reassessing, you know, what kind of work do they want to do and at what costs?
Ruby, I think you're right. The larger labor movement is shifting right now because a lot of the revelations that we have had and learned during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. KUOW's Ruby DeLuna covers food and how it intersects with health, communities, and culture. Really appreciate you, Ruby.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now. Diana Opong produced today's show. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy. See you tomorrow.